Welcome, everyone.
Radio.
Welcome to Keeping Fire in Your Life with urban firefighters Eric Roden and Ray McCormick. Here's Eric and Ray.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Keep Fire in Your Life. I'm Ray McCormick, along with Eric Roden. And tonight's program, Eric is with us. He's just keeping quiet right now till I get through with the introductions. It's going to be another good show. Tonight, though, just on a somber note, we're going to dedicate this show to a firefighter who was from FDNY. Many of you know him, Joseph DiBernardo. Joe passed away this week. His funeral was today. He was a member of the FDNY. You may know him from being injured at the Black Sunday fire in the Bronx back in January 23rd of 2005, almost 7 years ago. That fire on East 178th Street in the Bronx on a cold, snowy winter morning. Six firefighters to jump out the fourth floor window in the rear of the building. And even, you know, the fourth floor is a misnomer because there was a rear courtyard in the back, which made the fall the equivalent of a five-story fall. As you will recall, two firefighters were killed and four were seriously injured at that fire. Obviously, a very sad day in the history of firefighting, and Joe survived that plunge. And he left us this week. There was a funeral for him today out on Long Island. His father is a former chief in the FDNY, retired. Joe, of course, was forced to retire due to the injuries he sustained at that fire. So, you know, we all think about him and we realize that, you know, people's lives are touched in many ways. Joe touched a lot of lives. A tremendous firefighter in the FDNY. He went into the rescue company and finished up his career there. And if you're not familiar with how they operate, the rescue companies are assigned to all working fires, and they are expected to rescue people who are trapped and assist firefighters who are trapped. And this day, unfortunately, there was no way to get anyone. The events just unfolded so quickly that they attempted to assist each other down on a piece of rope. And, you know, that may have saved his life, obviously, because he didn't fall as far. But as we know, he passed away this week. And for others who Joe knew through the training world, Joe was instructor at all the big conferences, especially the FDIC. He worked in the collapse class for many years, teaching firefighters how to shore up a collapsed building. And he taught many rescue classes on Long Island. He was an active volunteer on Long Island. And like I said, he taught at many conferences. He had friends all over the country, and many of them have passed on their condolences and their feelings to the family over these past few days. And, you know, we want to remember not only a good firefighter and a great firefighter, we want to remember a legacy of training as well. And that lives on. Eric, you want to talk a little bit about, you know, you obviously never worked with Joe, but you met him through the training world, the FDIC world, basically.
Absolutely. You know, the training world or the conference circuit, the instructor circuit, is very close, and it's a small circle. And Joey was definitely a very big part of that circle. And I had the opportunity of first meeting him, you know, when he first started at FDIC. And, you know, he was just you know, a very knowledgeable firefighter. He went to the rescue at a very young age. He was a legacy on the FDNY. So he was encultured into obviously the FDNY as well as into the FDIC family. He was there every year. He was always out and about town, a very gregarious individual. It's a very, very, very big loss to the FDIC fire engineering and urban firefighter community. And the fire service, any training community for that matter. He taught for various teaching groups, did some consulting with others on technical rescue. Very knowledgeable instructor. I'll make a quote here from Bobby Halton, who stated, and I quote, "Joey was one of our instructors, a close friend, and an important part of FDNY history." And that does speak volumes about him. Not only was he a very big part of FDIC, he is his legacy in the FDNY, will be forever told. And the Black Sunday fire, and I guess to build upon what Ray was talking about, the PSS was developed as a result of that fire. And we had the honor of talking with Jeff Kuhl on a previous radio show regarding the PSS. And, it's a very good legacy because the PSS is going to save more firefighters. And, it's just a shame we lost Joey at such a young age. And, it'll be a very somber year at FDIC in 2012 without him there.
Well, yes, indeed. You know, Eric's right about the development of the personal safety system, which is a rope and harness system that the FDNY uses for emergency bailouts. And we've been fortunate that we haven't had to use it too often, but it has been used, and it has been used successfully. And it was an outgrowth. It grew out of what happened on Black Sunday. And, there's a legacy there. I ran into Joe 3 weeks before Black Sunday. I was working, and we got relocated to another firehouse in the Bronx, and we caught a job up in the Bronx in a taxpayer, a commercial, one-story commercial building with a laundromat. Turns out the fire was in the back, but just prior to finding the fire, I had some interaction with Joe, and, we've known each other for years, and we were just talking about the fire and what we had both seen and where we thought it might be. And, he had his responsibilities and I had mine. And, we saw a safe conclusion to that fire. And then, of course, 3 short weeks later, his whole career and life would be turned upside down in a matter of seconds. And that is the way the fire service works. Our job is obviously very dangerous. We try and minimize the dangers as best we can, but things do happen, and things that do happen unfortunately happen to good firefighters, and we can't predict what's going to happen next. We just try and avail ourselves of training and technology and good work habits that will be the majority of potential catastrophes. Someone said at work the other day, Black Sunday, this is Joe was a victim of Black Sunday, and all the firefighters that were injured that day, our hearts go out to them because they were doing their job and they did a great job, and it's just a shame what happened. So, like Eric said, FDIC will be different this year without Joe being there. He's been there all the years that I've been there, and we'll all miss him, and we'll all pay tribute to him in our own way.
Yeah, that's very true. So, with that tonight, we are dedicating tonight's show to Joey DiBernardo. Our hearts and thoughts go out to Joey and his family, as well as the FDNY Rescue 3, and as well as his student family, those that he's touched through his instruction and in teachings.
Yeah, it's funny. You never know how things are going to go. The Black Sunday fire was not only that fire in the Bronx. There was also a fatal line-of-duty fire in Brooklyn. Richard Scalafani was killed in a private dwelling fire in the basement of a private dwelling. That occurred just several hours after the the incident in the Bronx. So the FDNY had three line of duty deaths in one day occurring in two different parts of the city. So, you know, we have that legacy, we live with it, and we always try and honor the people who we've lost through learning what we can from what happened to them and incorporating it into our operations as best we can to make sure that it doesn't occur again. And it's funny, I had just looked at Joe's Facebook page, and in parentheses in his description of himself, he had down ghetto fireman. And, you know, that he put there on his own, that says a lot, that talks a lot about pride of a firefighter's pride in what they do, where they work. And it talks to the fact that they give it all, you know, to work in an area which has a decent amount of fire duty and thing always necessarily, you know, you might be worried about your car, you know, there's different things that go on that make that life a little different working in an area like that. Of course, camaraderie is, of course, intensified because of all the fires you're going to and all the work you're catching. And, you know, just that description says a lot about what he felt was at his core. And we understand that. The urban firefighter in all of us understands that. And, you know, it was just nice to see him portray himself that way. And that's the way he always was, unpretentious, you know, just a regular firefighter. And that came through with everybody he knew. Everybody knew him as Joey D.
Yeah, very well put, Ray. And definitely, you know, the urban firefighter and all of us, you know, has that pride, a pride in our workmanship. And, you know, we can see that in recent events. I mean, we've if you've been scouring the news and the fire websites, you can see there's been a lot of grabs made lately in our urban areas and suburban areas. And, you know, in Joey's memory, we need to, you know, continue to focus on, you know, our victories, our successes. You know, we do a lot of good every day. We have, you know, good days, bad days. You know, we have our Black Sundays. We have our days where we're pulling, you know, numerous people out. And, you know, that's just, you know, the job, the fire service, and Joy was very proud of it. Ray and I are very proud of it. I know all of you listening are proud to do what we do as well. And that exudes in the fact that you're even listening to this show tonight. And or the recording. So my hat's off to everybody as well. So with that, you know, if anyone also has been had their ear to the ground or eyes on the websites, they've seen that issue 6 of Urban Firefighter was finally released. We were sorry for the delay in that; it was much awaited, and we feel it was worth the wait. But right now, I would like to, you know, kind of recap a little bit about issue 6 and. You know, we're very proud of the issue. We want to introduce some new things, some new people. We also have some familiar faces and new faces in there. And that's what we're all about. You know, we want to portray the culture of the urban firefighter and the operations and how, you know, it simply transcends, you know, the basics on this job that we need to, you know, I guess bring it all in, bring it all together, and we feel we do that at Urban Firefighter Magazine. Ray, any quick thoughts or comments on issue 6?
Long awaited, and everybody seems to love it, which, of course, that's what we aim for with every issue. We want you to enjoy the magazine. We want you to become part of it. It's open to anyone. And we like the fact that we're covering a broad spectrum of things. We're never going to lose our focus, but we like to look around a little bit and see what else is out there. As you know, the fire service is, you know, all about change, and there are many things that people look at that we can change. One of the things that you'll see in this issue, of course, is the exercise program called CrossFit or Functional Fitness, and how it relates to firefighting. And, you know, of course, anything is good as long as you do it. So we cover that. Eric's a big exercise aficionado. He's an instructor as well. And, you know, that's something close to his heart. He enjoys that a lot. And we want to bring that. We want to talk about this exciting revolution in exercise that's going on. And we'd be remiss if we didn't bring it along. And it has a lot of correlation to what we do because it's very intense. And for the duration, it's very intense. It's very similar to what we do when we go to a working fire. Now, we just touched on a little bit about firefighters making rescues. And that does goes on in every part of the country. We have some wins and we have some losses. We search a lot of times and we don't find anyone. We search and we find people. That's what we do. That is the pinnacle, basically, of what we do, saving lives. If we can, you know, that's what we're here for. Every firefighter wants to save somebody's life, and there's no better goal than that. And we work towards that. Search is one of the most difficult aspects of our job. Once we get inside this fire environment, we have to be mindful of the fire and what it's doing. We have to be mindful of where the people might be. We have to be mindful of our location with inside the fire building. And we can never lose track of any of those three things because all three of those are very important. We have to know where we are so that if we need to get out, we can do that. We have to work. We have to have a plan. And people who search without a plan do not search very well. And their results are usually not that good.
It looks like we temporarily lost Ray, I should say. So with that, I guess I'll toss to another subject that kind of parallels what we'll talk about in issue 6 and as well as the rest of our issues, and that is the Fire Department Instructors Conference. It's a little over 100 some days away. Register now. Obviously, we're very biased. We'd like you to register for the Urban Essentials hands-on training class. It's chock full of the best instructors, the best content. And Ray, are you back?
I am. I'm sorry about that. Not quite sure why that happened, but I am back.
Okay, we're just throwing a little plug in for our FDIC Urban Essentials class. Sorry, we lost you there.
Oh yeah. Did you mention that in the next issue of Urban Firefighter, we're gonna include some pictures, and we're going to include a detailed description of this year's class because there's going to be some changes to it. In fact, someone asked me about that not too long ago. The core program will remain essentially the same. What we're looking to add is some additional manipulations to the hands-on portion. Hands-on is hands-on, but there's also an important instruction period that goes with it. And, we like to have our instructors set up the course ideas with the students and then give any additional assistance any student might need or tips. So they're there to instruct and to lay out the idea behind that section of the class and then help mentor any students that are going through it. And I think this year we might work on a little bit of a different type of setup where we may break the students down into small groups where they'll work in teams of three and rotate different stations within the main station. So basically it's going to be, but there's going to be a lot more hands-on things to do. And, we have to figure out how to time the program just so that actually happens. There's a lot to it. One of the big things with any hands-on class is the logistics portion of a class. We always try and include for our, let me just say that I'll give you a little brief description. We do a steeply pitched roof cutting operation where students learn the Milwaukee method, and It's an excellent method to cut a roof, whether it's steeply pitched or not as steeply pitched. But if you can cut a steeply pitched roof, you're going to be able to, if you're going to feel comfortable on that, and we're going to, and they're going to lay this roof out for you. The instructors are experts at what they do. They're from the Milwaukee Fire Department, so they're thoroughly familiar with this technique. They walk you through it. You'll be comfortable. You'll be amazed at how great it works, and you'll want to take it home. Now, within that, we're also going to have flat roof operations, very important. When we look at the balance of the program, it deals with commercial building fires. We have a flat roof portion, which is pretty common on a commercial building. We have forcible entry, of course, which is very common on commercial buildings. And we're also going to have a thing on the back. Basically, you're going to operate at the back of this building, the sealed building syndrome, if you will. And we're going to have VPS back there. We're going to introduce you to VPS panels and how to attack those. We're going to talk about gates and a lot of cutting and a lot of getting through different types of barriers, whether they be made out of wood or metal. And remember, too, that in our class, one of the defining things we like to do is that we like to have the prop there, a simple prop that you can build for fire department. That's another key ingredient of our class, is that we will have some manufactured props, especially in the forcible entry area. These are forcible entry door systems. You may see some of those. You may be familiar with them. But the builders of those are gracious enough to loan them to us for the class. But a lot of the other props are built right there at FDIC for that class, specifically for the class and on scene by our instructors. And that just goes to show you, you can ask the instructors how, because the instructors that work that class have their hands right in on it. They're hammering the thing together. They're, you know, screwing it together, whatever it might be. They're building it there for you to use come Monday and Tuesday of the hot class. So we like that part. That was a big part of Urban Essentials, that the training was not something that you couldn't do on your own. You could. And that's what we want you to do. We want you to bring it back with the tips and the tricks and the knowledge from these instructors who are all field worthy. They all do it every day. It's not some abstract topic. They know what they're doing. They've all come up with their own little shortcuts on how to do things, how to work the best way. So you're gonna get all that. And you know, that's a beautiful thing. The class is phenomenal. We had nothing but rave reviews about the class last year, and this year it's gonna be even better. We're gonna just do a little different format, and I think students are really gonna like it. You know, there'll be just more for you to do. Now, the other thing, like I said, the logistics portion of the class is very interesting in the sense that last year, everyone cut the peaked roof. Everyone cut the flat roof. Everyone did the VPS. Everyone did a plunge cut. Everyone got to do the manipulation. And that's over 100 students a day, you know, cutting the peaked roof. That's an enormous amount of planning and good station design, actually, because we have 100 students all wanting to do the same thing. All 100 students got to experience every station the way it was supposed to be done. They each got a chance to do it. And, you know, our hat is off to the FDIC staff because they make sure that we have all the saw blades we need, and the multiple saws and the hand tools. There's a lot that goes into it behind the scenes, and they work very hard to make sure that we have everything so that the student can really get a good day out of the hands-on, because, you know, it's a long day, and we want to make sure they're coming from all different parts of the country, all different work experience levels. And what we try and do is, of course, we teach – you know, we teach it as we would teach anyone else in our firehouse. We get right down to earth because that's the kind of people we use. All of our people are approachable. They're all willing to spend extra time to understand anything. And that's what you come there for. and it's great camaraderie, and you hopefully you make some lifelong friends as well. Wouldn't you say, Eric?
I agree, and you know, that's a good point. You know, there's 1,000 places to spend your money to get training on forcible entry and ventilation. But FDIC is different. You know, we, you know, particularly the Urban Essentials class, and the fact that we want you to approach these instructors. They're great guys. We've known these guys for years. They're not people we just found or you know, put a APB out for subject matter experts. We, Ray and I, have vetted these individuals, and we know these individuals are approachable. They're very knowledgeable first and foremost, but you'll get a lot out of them. They're also the type that love being pulled aside, you know, after hours, whether it be, you know, on the street at the convention center, in the pub at a restaurant. You know, class never ends at FDIC. That's the beauty of it. And, you know, we hope you experience that, and, you know, Ray and I are going to ensure from now until then, you know what you're missing if you don't register for it, because we're going to, again, in an upcoming issue, next issue, I should say, do a big expose on our course with the pictures. Hopefully we'll integrate some video in there, and you can see exactly, you know, some of the evolutions. Like Ray mentioned, there will be some changes to it, but, you know, the crux of it is the same. Great skills evolutions, great instructors, knowledgeable people, very friendly. You know, just like, you know, in Walmart, you see somebody with a blue vest, look for people in the Urban Keep Fire No Life sweatshirts and pluck the brains. So, you know, you will see exactly what you're registering for and what you will be getting out of it.
Yeah, we are going to take advantage of our opportunity to push the class within the magazine, because we did the training minutes. There's a current training minutes series right now on the website based out of the Urban Essentials class. And next year at FDIC, we're gonna do another 6 as well. And the beauty of that is if you can't get to FDIC or you forget something, we're going to cover some of it, not all of them that day, obviously. And we definitely want to pass because we feel that it gives you an overall experience is what it's really all about. There are obviously many topics that you could take a class on, individual topics within the urban class. In other words, forcible entry, yes. There's forcible entry at FDIC by knowledgeable instructors. There's ventilation. There's all of those things. What we tried to do was incorporate a segment of each of those, build it around the fact that you would get all of this within the one-day period. And, yeah, your game has to be up that day. You have to have your you have to be listening. You have to be paying attention. You have to bring your game face because it's a long day and you are working and you're trying to comprehend it all. So there's a lot to do, and, you know, the instructors take it seriously, and the students are great. Our students enjoyed. We had a segment last year for everyone at one time. We did a demo, basically, of the two tools that are used now at FDNY for their high operations. One was the flowable nozzle, and the other was the wind.
Okay, we're sorry, folks, who experienced some more technical difficulty. See who we have on the line here. Hello, who's this? Apparently the switchboard seems to be dropping calls tonight. We're sorry about that, folks. We're waiting for our guest tonight to call in, Captain Bob Morris, FDNY Rescue 1. Hoping to pluck his brain, perhaps the most knowledgeable line firefighter officer in the world. Definitely a very, very knowledgeable firefighter. And you know, we are going to announce as well that Captain Morris will be joining us at our FDIC Urban Essentials hands-on training class. And let's see who we have on the line. Well, welcome to Keep Fire in Your Life. Who's this?
That's Ray.
Okay. All right. We have Ray back. I was just explaining about Captain Morris joining us at FDIC this year. I guess making that big announcement.
That's so, right. Yep. His son, Rex, had been with us last year, and unfortunately, Bob was unable to attend with us last year, and this year he was gracious enough to join us, and we're looking forward to having him with us. I don't know, if you come in FDIC, this sounds like a real good opportunity to me to get some really, you know, father and son forceful entry. It doesn't get much better than that, I don't think.
No, absolutely not. And we're hoping he'll be joining us very soon. Definitely. We'll reiterate again. I mean, we definitely, sought out the best individuals we knew. And if you've ever taken a class from Captain Morris, he is, very direct, very knowledgeable, very exact, very patient, and, just a phenomenal individual to learn from. Any firefighter that's ever worked with him will tell you the exact same thing. He's a legend in the FDNY, and he's a legend in the teaching circuit, and we're very honored to have him, and ups the ante for us quite considerably to, keep growing the Urban Essentials class and making it better and better every year, and that's exactly what we did with the addition of Bob Morris.
Yeah, that's true. And, we also have some other new instructors this year as well. Ron Smith from Gary Fire is going to join us this year. Ron is going to work with the sealed buildings unit, if you want to call it something. It was VPS last year, but we're going to expand that a little bit more to get into, how buildings are sealed up against our entry and also against our egress. So Ron's going to join that group and help out there. And we have one of Eric's firefighters, Manny Ramirez, joining us. Manny was helpful last year with us. He helped us a lot with our class. And this year he's back, and he's going to be instructing on the steeply pitched roof segment. And we're happy to have him. Both of these guys are Manny is new to the FDIC. This is, not 100% new, but this is his first full year new coming up. And Ron taught last year with the engine class, and he switched over to our class this year. And, we're looking forward to some great results.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I apologize, folks. My headset seems to be cutting out now.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with mine. It seems like, after a while, the signal just wants to die. I'm not exactly sure why that's happening. But, one of the things...
I think our server's having brownouts, too. What do you guys think?
Yeah. That seems to have slowed down a little bit, the news of the brownouts. I don't know, what's happening for next fiscal year, but we don't seem to see much about that anymore. I would imagine that most fire departments have... have made their decisions and done their trimming, if you will, and are just living with what's happened so far. You know, talking with other firefighters around the country, you know, some firefighters, thank goodness, have been rehired. Others are, you know, still in a state of flux. But I think in general, the bloodshed has, if not stopped, at least slowed down.
Yeah, we're definitely.
Are you there?
Yeah, okay. up, I'm back. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Unfortunately, my fire department's you know, experiencing the budget pains and the brownouts, and ironically, my engine company is currently browned out. We'll be back December 7th, so you know, I'm out on the road covering until then. So, you know, even your radio hosts aren't immune to the budget cuts and what we're seeing. So, but that's the reality, and you know, doing things, you know, more efficient and finding ways to make do and do less of less, unfortunately, is the key. And you know, Ray and I have talked extensively, you know, on the show in the past about brownouts, the effects, and, you know, I guess while we're on the topic, we can have an aside here and just reiterate that, you know, you need to communicate with your adjacent companies. You need to, you know, have a plan within your battalions to our contingency plan, I guess I should say, for operating. You know, I'm working in a company tomorrow covering a spot during my brownout that's adjacent to my company. So, you know, obviously, that's a single-engine company I'm working in tomorrow, a very large area. And, you know, we're waiting for that second arriving engine to help us with our first line, a few more seconds longer, and you know, that's a reality. And you know, going into work tomorrow, I know that, and I have a mental plan in place of some of the things that are, you know, that I'll be considering as the officer on that engine. And you know, obviously, you know, with the battalion in that house, definitely, you know, discussing it and whatnot. So I mean, we can complain about budget cuts all we want; they are happening. They will keep happening. You know, I guess the philosophy now is to grow smaller as slow as possible. And, you know, unless we, you know, accept that and learn to move on day by day, then you know, we'll be playing catch up, and we can't do that. And if, you know, going back to the beginning of the show, we owe it to Joey. We owe it to the firefighters. We owe it to, you know, the firefighters in Joliet, Chicago, and in Maryland in the last couple of days that made numerous grabs to, you know, keep doing that. And, I'm obviously, you know, trying not to sound like a cheerleader here, but, you know, definitely, you know, we can't rest on our laurels. We can't, you know, lick our paws. We have to keep doing what we do best. And I know everyone listening here has that same philosophy when they go into work. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to a radio show tonight or reading a magazine or whatnot. So, you know, spread the word to those that aren't, and, you know, try to keep everyone's spirits high, and we will get through this. You know, the economy's going to get worse before it gets better, and hopefully, you know, we emerge, you know, stronger than before and even more willing to do our job.
You know, Eric, you know, we always have, you know, fantastic articles in the magazine. That's why people love the magazine, and that's one of the reasons they keep coming back to it. One of the articles in this issue was written by Nick Martin, and the article was about him going up to a roof and donning all of his gear, including his SCBA face piece and hood. And he did all that, which is what you should be doing. But a lot of firefighters aren't doing that. And luckily, he did. He opened up the roof, and fire blasted up the, I think it was the left side of his body, and, you know, damaged his turnout gear, but no personal injury sustained. And the amazing thing about that is, you know, he's a firefighter as you'd want to see or meet, and yet he made sure he was squared away. And there's a lot to be said for that, because you know, you can read the article yourself. But what I liked about it was that he told this story about something he did, and it was a good thing he did, and it turned out well. And had he not done that, what would we be reading? Would we just be reading, oh, I should have done that, I wish I had done that? It's too late after the fact. You have to take the steps beforehand, and he did. And, you know, a lot of people think you don't need an SCBA for roof operations. Yeah, until you need an SCBA for roof operations. So, I mean, it's there. We want to live as long as possible. We want to take care of ourselves. A little prevention is worth a pound of cure. So it's a great article because it's a little different than most. They're all great articles, don't get me wrong. But his is a story of a decision that he made, and it was a good decision he made. And he basically wants you to not even make that decision. Just that's how you operate. And you know why? Because things like that do happen on occasion, and he's safer because he made the right decision. Read it, check it out. Also, I'd like to talk about an article called Quick Water that was written by a colleague of mine, Lieutenant Joe Boyle from Engine Company 69. And it's nice to see someone from my firehouse writing for the magazine. It's great. Joe's article is awesome. And, you know, it's just fantastic. You know, you have a fantastic company there. And why not talk about things that are important to the fire service and, you know, get something out there that you think is important and get it out there for people to read. Joe's had a big interest in the engine for years. He's an engine firefighter and through and through. And you know, I know from discussions with him, there may be some future things coming from him as well. And we look forward to that because we need some more engine voices. And I'll just divert here a little, Eric, to my last tactical safety, where the title was The Fire Will See You Now, which we pushed out this week. It's on the web's Facebook as well. One of the things when I was writing, I kind of changed a little bit because I had seen a lot of fire videos over the past week, and I tend not to watch too many of them because I get a general impression of how they go, and usually it's not very good. And, you know, you wonder, you just shake your head at you know, the operational level that some fire departments are operating on. And I'm talking about the most basic thing, of course, and that is getting a line to the front door and getting it ready to go in and fight the fire. And we see in these videos some basic difficulties. And it's kind of hard to believe in this day and age with all the information that's out there and all the different sources that fire departments are still having issues getting the first line into operation. And I'm not talking about, you know, 10 people at the window that need assistance right away. We're talking about your basic one room and spread in an occupied private home, and of, you know, even the most basic of private homes, nothing, no McMansion, not numerous people at the windows needing help right away. And we see firefighters who lack direction, officers who, I don't know whether they know how to give direction or not, but we don't see a very organized fire ground initially, and that is not good. Fire ground, of course, can change dramatically. There are incidents that can stump the most seasoned professionals. But when we pull up on scene with our first company that's capable of stretching a hand line, whether it be an engine or a quint or whatever it is, and we see problems in that area, then that fire department really should get back to the drawing board, because you can't just necessarily blame that on the people that are in the video, because you can tell that the problem is larger than that. Yes, you could have maybe, maybe not the greatest firefighters working that day. That is a possibility. But usually if you really watch the video and the problem runs a lot deeper than that. And it's sad that in this day and age, with all the knowledge out there, that we still see these events occurring. And we're not doing a lot for the safety of our firefighters or the safety of our civilians that we wish to protect when we can't get our act together quickly and efficiently for the first new hand line. And, you know, I keep beating that drum because it is the drum. We need to be proficient in this. This is what a fire department is all about. Yes, there are other things that we can do to save lives. We have medical calls, and that helps a lot of people. That's true. We do a lot of preventive things. All these things work. But when we have to stretch a hand line, we have to correctly. And we need to see more of that.
Yeah, you know, that's very true. And, you know, for some reason, we're also seeing a lack of assistance with that first line. You know, whether it's the truck company, the rescue company, the chief officer, the safety officer, whatever vest they're wearing, really pays, little mind to the first line. And, you know, you'll see it in 1,000 articles, 1,000 classes that Ray or I or anyone else talking about the engine will teach. You know, you need to get good at stretching the first line. That's the very first thing your fire department should get good at. EMS, you'll get great at EMS because we run 1,000 EMS runs a day. That will happen, but we're not all getting 1,000 fires a day. So, you know, hop on that first line, folks, and get it in operation. You know, my department, 4 or 5 on an engine, depending on what part of town you're putting fires out in. You know, it's in writing in our operations as well as in our the FDNY, that two engines will team up to stretch the first hand line, period. And,
well,
yeah, go ahead, Ray, I'm sorry.
Well, well, it's not even so much, a manpower issue as much as it is realizing that you've made a commitment to the input of that line. Obviously, some stretches you don't need everyone to assist you for, but, you know, help is good as long as it's not overdone. Help is great. But what it sent, the signal that it sends is that we value this first line so much that we will commit as many people as necessary to get it in place because we understand its importance. When we have, you know, and I talk about this in my classes, when we have incident commanders that don't do that, then they more than likely do not realize the full importance of getting that first line into operation. Of course, they would tell you differently, but unless you're willing to commit the resources, then you can't just let it lag. This is, you know, time is not on our side. And, you know, getting back to the videos, we see a lot of fire departments having issues with stretching hand lines to the ground floor level entrance of a building. Now, a lot of firefighters are not well-schooled in vertical stretching, where we go up the stairs, basically. And if you have a sloppy approach to exterior entrance door fires on a first floor, stretching up a stair, up several flights of stairs is not going to be any easier. It's going to be worse. And it's kind of funny that a lot of firefighters lack that basic knowledge. Not that they couldn't be good at it, but they were never really shown. And it's kind of sad to think that firefighters, you know, get this false impression that they really would never go to a fire above the second floor of a building, you know, which is crazy because there's plenty of buildings that are over two stories in most of this country. And eventually, you know, you're going to have to take a line up a couple of flights of stairs and you really need to know how to do it. And we, you know, it's not always the firefighter's fault. There's a lot of differences that could be adapted in the training academies and what people learn. As you know, as a lot of our co-instructors would talk about it at different events and things like FDIC, the books are good and they're great, but they don't go deep enough. They don't talk about the street level operations that we tend to operate in. And, you know, when we watch videos of firefighters doing things in a textbook, severe textbook fashion, when you know that there's something probably a lot quicker, just as much more efficient and just as safe to do, and yet the books haven't caught up yet. So we have a lot of instructional lag, unfortunately, to deal with in the fire service. And, you know, that just comes with time, but we have to be willing to look at new things. There are some things we accept with open arms without too much analytical research, and we're willing to jump on the bandwagon for many things, but there are a lot of techniques and tactics that need to be shared with the American firefighter that are lagging in fire academies throughout the country. And that's noticeable when you teach students and you deal with students from different parts of the country. You see how different ideologies are formed on the basis of extinguishment practices, and some of the stuff isn't that good, some of it's fine, some of it's excellent. It's hard to get a consensus, that's true. It's very hard to get a consensus on almost any tactic that's taught. But there are a few that stand out there, and if you're not taught the basics, the correct basics, then it's hard to build a good foundation. And when your foundation is shaky, it's tough to learn from that point on because you're not quite sure what's going on. So while there's a lot of things that need to change in the fire service, one thing we all need to work to change is the apathy and the unprofessional, if you will, hose stretches that take place and apparently find their way to YouTube every day of the week. And we have to care a little bit more about what we do, whether it's volunteer, paid, urban, suburban, rural, whatever it is. You have to care about what you're doing because people's lives are on the line, your own and the people you protect. And especially in communities where, you know, people are very tight-knit and the community is much smaller, you know, nothing could probably be worse than going to a fire in someone's house that you actually know. So you have to have your A game on, whether you know the people or not. There is no time for to learn remedial lesson on the fire ground. You have to do it beforehand. And, you know, we have to make training a priority. Eric and I were just talking about the Back to Basics, which was a classroom phenomenon about 10 years ago about. And, you know, that'll always have a resurgence because, you know, unfortunately, we move away from it for a lot of different reasons. And unfortunately, it gets devalued as, you know, the plain Jane cereal on the shelf. And in reality, it's a lot more than that. It's how we advance to other specialties. And if we don't have our basic firefighting down, you know, or your trench rescue skills could be phenomenal, but, you know, there's even less trench rescues we're going to than fires. And so that's the reality. You know, the first word firefighter is to know how.
And it looks like the switchboard has just browned out Ray's line here. Well, you know, I'll summarize. You know, folks, you know, I'll simplify the argument a little bit here. You know, folks expect us to, you know, respond to EMS runs and take care of the myriad EMS problems. But the other basic service that that the folks really want us to provide is stretching a hose line and putting water out on the fire. I think, Ray, you're back, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sorry about that.
You know, folks, no problem. This is brownouts. Anyway, that is it, folks. I mean, you know, we pull up on scene, whether it's an aerial, a rescue truck, pizza truck, whatever you're pulling up in, somehow they want to see a hose line coming off that rig and into their house. You know, if we don't get good at it, it's very noticeable. And, you know, it's been mentioned before, Ray's talked about it in classes I have, you'll see this in virtually every engine class, you know, a truck can forget to search a room, break a, you know, vent a window, take some window bars off the rear, or, or search or reach behind a door, or probe a bulkhead, and no one may ever know about it. But if we don't get water on that fire, everyone will know about it. And, you know, Ray's, you know, a big believer in that philosophy, and that's the difference between support operations and the first hose line. So, in a nutshell, let's just get better at our stretches. You know, we all need to get on board with that, and, you know, that's where safe firefighting begins. That's the beachhead of safe firefighting.
Yeah, it will sound like a broken record to some people, perhaps, but the message, unfortunately, has to compete with a lot of other messages, and that's just the way it is, and that's fine. But what you have to realize is you have to take time for this message. This is a very important message, that the proper stretching of the attack hand line is crucial to the safety of the public. It just doesn't get any simpler than that. And a fire department that is not good at that is really doing a disservice. And, you know, it's obvious by what we see, these video clips, that either departments are having a bad day or they always have a bad day, and you're just seeing one day out of 365. I hope that's not the case, but a lot of times it is. And we need to embrace that. And a lot of people have moved away from that. Even young firefighters don't fully understand the importance of the first line and what it does for us. And, you know, it's sad. There's nothing more important than that. And then you move on from there. You have the foundation. If you don't have a good foundation, then you're going to be bad. One of the things I would like to talk a little bit about is our next issue. We are obviously going to have a nice segment in there about the FDIC, which we hope you can come to. If you can't,
and looks like we're probably going to lose them again. Issue 7, more of what you come to expect. It is our going to be a preview issue for our Urban Essentials class. It's going to, like we said earlier in the show, we're going to let you go all know what you missed if you didn't take the class this year. If you've taken the class, register again, folks. It's going to be, you know, a better class, more content, you know, the same faces, some familiar ones as well as some of the newer ones. And let's see if we can get Ray, are you back?
Yeah, I'm back.
Okay. We'll start things off with the class. There's also, we'll have some more profiles of some of the interesting people out there, and definitely some of the great training articles you come to expect. Ray, do you want to leak anything out, or should we leave them hanging? What do you think?
Well, you know, they're gonna have to stay hanging. We never tell everything, of course, but we're gonna have a few different little things in there this time, and some of our regular authors are back again by popular demand. We have some great authors, and you know, they've just scratched the surface. These guys, not only are they great authors, they're very engaged in their topics and what they like to write about, and you know, they've been in FDIC instructors and everything like that. And it's just, there's nothing better than talking to someone who has a love for the profession. And that's one of the things we try and convey, obviously. And if you're listening to this show, more than likely you have a love of the profession. And it's a lot richer and a lot deeper than a lot of firefighters know about. And hopefully, hopefully they can move on into that and, you know, talk some fire and keep fire in their life along with us. So we'll be back early next month. So keep your schedule open. We'll be back. Our turnaround time is pretty quick with this radio show. The next one is early in December. And I can't tell you what we're going to have, except we're going to definitely talk fire again.
Yeah, and I agree. And we apologize with the problems of the switchboard tonight. I can imagine we probably have Captain Morris banging on the window trying to get in, but the switchboard probably won't let him. So we apologize for not having him on tonight. Hopefully, cross our fingers, we can get him on next month's show or a future show. Definitely, we want to spend a lot of time talking with him. But with that, we'll end the show tonight. We've been chatting for an hour, flushed a couple things out, had a good talk tonight, and we're able to go on tangents on a decent topic. So we'd like to thank you all for listening tonight, and we hope to see you again. Again, keep your eye on the schedule. We'll be back at it early next month. And from Ray McCormick and Eric Roden, please keep firing your life.